As I shared, we'll be in John chapter 10 on this morning. But before we can lean into the text that was read, John chapter 10, verses 7 through 16, we'd have to take a look back at John 7, 8, and 9. Because John 10 is not a standalone passage, it's actually a part of this story which begins in chapter 7. And we heard last week my brother, Pastor Jared Trumbo, share with us from chapter 7. So I'm not going to unpack it anymore. I felt he did a yeoman's job with it. But I do want to give a 30,000-foot view of 7, 8, and 9 so that we could better appreciate the beauty that is chapter 10. And so please bear with me as I do absolutely no justice to three chapters of the Bible in less than 3 minutes. But I want us to make sure we have some context so that we can better appreciate what Jesus is speaking and who he's speaking to in chapter 10 so that we can receive this word that he is speaking to us on this morning. So in chapter 7, we see Jesus going to Jerusalem for the Feast of Booths, even though he knows that the Jewish leaders are looking to kill him. But Jesus, being the loving Christ that he is, presses in anyway to love on the people because he wants to make himself known to the people that he came to save. And so we saw in chapter 7 that Jesus lets the people know who he is. He tells them that he is the living water. In verse 37 and 38, the word reads, "On the last day of the feast of Booths, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" So if we drink from Jesus, we will be saved, and out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. The people didn't know what to do with this. There were many different responses. We see that in verses 40 through 44. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet that Moses spoke about that would come." Others said, "This is the Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited one that the nation of Israel had been praying for and looking for." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So there was a divided crowd, and there were those who felt like this could be, this might be. And there are others that said that there's no way that this could be. And then there were many that wanted to arrest him. So Jesus closes the curtain on that day, and the next day we find Jesus going back to this same crowd that wanted to arrest him, the same crowd that didn't know what to make of him. And we see in the scriptures in chapter 8, Jesus again pressing in to let them know who he is. And in verse 12, we see Jesus speaking of himself so that the people might respond rightly to the Savior of the world. And the scripture lets us know what Jesus says. It says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them," this crowd who is divided about who he might be and some who want to arrest him, "saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" And there was much conversation that came after this statement, and suffice it to say that there were some who thought that, maybe this could be. There are others who just absolutely disagreed. And so some would look at how the day ended and say, "Jesus, I don't think you really sold them on who you are." Because as we look in verse 59, it says what the crowd looked to do with Jesus. "So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." So here Jesus, the living water, the light of the world. People don't know what to make of him. They want to arrest him. They want to stone him. And so Jesus quietly excuses himself from the temple. And then we see as Jesus is leaving, Jesus doing what Jesus does, changes lives and blesses people. Look at verse 1 of chapter 9. "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth." As he's tiptoeing out because they're getting ready to throw rocks at his head, he just stopped and said, "Hold on. There's a man here that was born blind. I want to help him." Like, Jesus, they're trying to kill you. Let's go ahead. I mean, Secret Service doesn't tell the president, oh, did you want to just stop real quick even though we're taking fire? Okay, hold on, please. Just wait a moment. The president wants to talk. No, it's like, let's go get in the car, hide, duck. We're peeling out. Jesus, let me help this guy and change his life. And so Jesus pauses, heals this blind man, and then keeps it moving. And this blind man, now there's a big commotion because everybody knows this was a man who was born blind. And now he sees, and they couldn't even believe it. Some people see, like, it look like him, sound like him. But he's just so different that that can't be him. So there's this big commotion now in Jerusalem about this blind man who could see. And the Jewish leaders are now calling him in, and they're going back and forth like, are you really the one? They didn't believe him, so they called his parents in. Parents, is this your son that was born blind? Yeah, that's him. Well, what happened? Listen, we don't know. He's of age. You ask him. We don't want anything to do with this problem. And the reason why they didn't was because if anybody said that Jesus was the Christ, they would be cast out of the temple. So they were so intent on staying in the temple that they were willing to just let their son go. Listen, I'm glad you can see, man, but you're on your own on this one. We're not getting kicked out of the temple today, not for you. You know, so now they call the son back in. And the son presses in and lets him know, like, listen, I told you already, you didn't want to believe. Why are you asking me again? Again, absolutely no justice. You have to read 7, 8, and 9 to really take it in. But let me read verses 32 through 34 to see how it all kind of played out for the man that once was blind but now could see and is now trying to help other blind people see who Jesus is. It says in verse 32, never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. This is the blind man speaking to the people who could supposedly see. Verse 33, if this man were not from God, he's talking about Jesus, he could do nothing. They were trying to call Jesus a sinner, a demon even, possessed individual. They being the Jewish leaders, answered him, you were born in utter sin. And would you teach us? And they cast him out. Just kicked him out. And then we see in chapter 10, Jesus telling a story, painting a picture to try and help the crowd understand him after all that just went down. They called him demon-possessed. Some said he could be the prophet. Some say that he was the Christ. Others wanted to arrest him. Some wanted to stone him. For those who would speak about him, they were willing to cast them out of the temple. Yet it's to them that Jesus continues to press in to speak about who he is in hopes that the ones who want to arrest him, stone him, and kick out anybody who loves him, it's to them that Jesus wants to make himself known. In chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, we see Jesus trying to make himself known, but this time he looks to paint a picture because the direct route wasn't working so much. I'm the living water. Oh, we want to arrest him. I'm the light of the world. Oh, we want to kill him. Oh, he has to be from God. Oh, we're going to cast you out. So let me see if I could bring it to you a different way. And Jesus tells him a story about sheep that are in the sheepfold and how there are thieves and robbers that are trying to climb over the sheepfold to steal the sheep, to lead them astray, but how the shepherd doesn't climb over the wall. The shepherd has access, so the shepherd comes through the door and he calls his sheep by name and he leads them out into pastures. But still, Jesus talking to a crowd who really doesn't know what to do with him. And because they're afraid of him, they'd rather kill him than to press in and understand him. We see in verse 6 the response. It says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus still pressing in. He must have had some glared over looks where he's like, I don't think they're getting it. You know how you look when you're a tourist and you're trying to figure out someplace to go, can I help you? Oh, why do you think I need help? You look lost. So Jesus is telling this story and he must have looked out at the crowd and said, okay, you're not getting it. Let me try this a different angle. Right, and Jesus comes right back at him. This is the beauty of this. just straight on direct against. Like, I know how you responded to this before, but even though it may put me in a position where you're going to hate me, where you may want to stone me, I so desperately want you to know me that I'm willing to just tell you what it is, no matter what you're going to do. And so Jesus presses in and tells this story. And so before I just unpack this this passage a little bit more, I want to make sure that we're attentive and that we're understanding that the Spirit is speaking to us today. Right, there are times where we find ourselves in spaces where we may have had the glazed over look. What are you talking about, Jesus? You know, we find ourselves confused, or we find ourselves hurting. And as my brother said, we may find ourselves doubting, or we may find ourselves seeking. We may find ourselves unsure. We may find ourselves following, like, Lord, I'm not quite, you know, just I may, but I'm really, I don't know if. You know, so we find ourselves in all different spaces and seasons of life. And there's some of us who've been walking with God for some time, and then we find ourselves falling off. Listen, I just want to make sure that the picture is plain. Jesus presses in to let you and I know who he is. He doesn't look at you and say, you know what? Forget him. I just don't want to have it. He doesn't do that. Even when he knew that there were people in Jerusalem that were looking to kill him, arrest him, stone him, and cast out anyone who believed in him, you know what he did? He still presses in to speak to them, to see about them, to love on them. And he's doing the same thing today. So if you find yourself in this room, in this hour, struggling, wrestling with some truths, doubting, unsure. And even if you find yourself faith solid and you're affirmed, as my aunt used to say, just keep holding on, sugar. A storm is coming. God is calling us all to himself, and he's pressing in to let himself be known so that we can respond rightly to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So at least for the next few fleeting moments, don't look at yourself. Don't think about what you have done or where you have been or how you're feeling because of things that have been done to you. Let's for just a few minutes focus on who Jesus says he is, what he has done, and what he wants to do to you and through you. Let's hear this story with some fresh ears, some clear eyes, so that we can see the Savior of the world, and not say that he's a prophet or he's just some good guy, but that we might recognize him to be the Christ. Jesus, looking at the confused faces, says again to them, truly, truly, Michael Darboux's vernacular, for real though, listen up. I want to let you know something, because you're confused. Just listen to me. About to drop some knowledge on you, and I want you to grab a hold of this. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. Can't make it any more direct than that. Who are you talking about, Jesus? I'm talking about myself, Jesus said. I am the door. And now if you heard or read about the story that Jesus just shared in the first part of chapter 10, you know what he's painting this picture to. The door to what? Because the door leads to something. He's the door to the sheepfold is what he's speaking of in this story, in this picture that he's painting. And see, the sheepfold represents a refuge. It represents safety. It represents a place where you can go and find peace. See, it's great to go out and graze. The sun is up. It's a beautiful day. And there's as much grass as a sheep could possibly put down. But at some point, the sun sets. The wolves howl. Coyotes yap. You want to just take a step right back on here into the sheepfold. Go and close that door, and we're good. Right? The sheepfold was built with stones, and they were piled up like a wall and surrounded. in more of a circular shape. And then there was a gate to the sheepfold. And then on this sheepfold, there would be some objects that were kind of what we would call barbed wire to make sure that things couldn't just climb over. Right? So then you were safe in the sheepfold as long as you came in through the door. And Jesus says, I am the door. I'm the door that will let you in to safety, to refuge, to peace, and to hope. Anyone that comes, anyone that enters, he says, he will be saved. So now Jesus takes this story after he painted this picture of the sheep coming into the sheepfold. And then he lets us know that he is the door. We are the sheep. And he's calling us to come in. I like how Matthew puts it. It's an encouragement for our soul. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Hear the words of Jesus as recorded by Matthew. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you've been alive for just a few days, I'm sure you can affirm the fact that scripture is true when it says, in this life, you will take it to the bank. It's going to happen if it hasn't happened yet. You will have trouble. In this life, you will experience persecution and pain. But fear not. Why not? Because I am the door, Jesus says, and I have a place for you where sin cannot ravage your soul, where people cannot cast you out any longer. Come in, all who are burdened, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I mean, you know it gets tiring. It's hard. There are cases that we were never meant to carry. And as we find ourselves walking through this life, it sometimes feels like we're just being packed down tighter and tighter. Sometimes we feel like we can't move. Sometimes we may feel like there's no hope. And to you and to me, Jesus calls out, come, come and enter into my rest. Some people who don't know Jesus respond to him like the Jews did when he tried to let them know that he is the living water and he is the light of the world. Instead of coming in and finding rest, they feel like Jesus is telling them to come in so that he can restrict them and confine them. You got all these rules and what I can't do and what I won't do and what I shouldn't do. I just want to stay out here and graze. I don't want to be closed in. You heard, oh, shoot, where's, and then you want to start moving when you hear a wolf howl right now. Come in. We've all heard the howling wolves. If we could be honest, many of us have probably felt the teeth of the wolf as we tried to play with sin and see if that can be something that can comfort and keep us. And no matter where you are, what decisions you have made, Jesus calls you and I, come, come, come hobbling, come hurting, come weak, weary, and wounded, come, come and let me care for you, come and let me keep you, I will save you. This is what the word says. I mean, we just read it, I'm not making it up. He says that if you come in, if you enter in, you will be saved, and you will be able to go in and out and find pasture. Listen, if you're trying to find it somewhere else, if you're trying to see if someone else can give it to you, if you're trying to look and see if there's some other coping mechanism, because I don't want to go into that Jesus thing, because I know that he's going to tell me I can't do this or I won't be able to do that, and I don't feel like being restricted by some God who thinks he created things. If you feel that way, if you think that way, please hear the words of Jesus. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Anything else other than Jesus will not satisfy. It will not satisfy the longing of your soul. You will always leave empty. You'll always leave unfulfilled. It's like an athlete that spends their whole life training, I mean beating their body to win the championship, to reach the highest level of their sport. And then when they get there and they're on that platform and they're holding up the trophy, they have a moment of exhilaration. But then later in the week, that didn't change anything for my life. Family, still a mess. I still don't know what to do about this problem. That little trophy on that shelf is just collecting dust. Didn't satisfy me. I could look at it every now and then be like, remember when? But look at now. That trophy will sit there and it will do nothing for you. Everything else will just sit there and it won't do anything for you. But Jesus says, I came that you may have life and that more abundantly. So if we would enter in through the door, then we'll find a God who is very much present. He's not absent. He's not distant and far off. He's the door, wide open, ready to receive all who will come. But what I love about what Jesus does, he's not just the door. Look at what else he says about himself. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Jesus says that he's the one who's not only opening a door, the door for you to come in and receive safety. He's also the shepherd that's going to lead you into green pastures. Listen to the word. I just had to read this. This has been on my heart for the last 2 weeks. And I'm like, Lord, if you could work this in any way possible over one of these next sermons, I'm telling you, I may just run just one quick lap. I mean, this is just so good right here. It may just happen. But here, look at this. Look at this. Psalm 23. It's an oldie but a goodie. If you've been in church for just a few years, you've heard it. Most people are forced to recite it. Listen, I know that you may not feel good about reciting, and man, do I have to remember it? This is one that's good to remember. The good shepherd. This is what the good shepherd does. Listen, we have to see him. If we could see him, then we'll respond rightly to him. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen, this is the good shepherd now. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I mean, just picture yourself like a sheep, if you can, for a moment. Let this scene become more colorful and come to life. I mean, just green pastures, still waters. I mean, what else do I? Like you thinking, well, I need a car and I need, no, green pastures and still waters. I've got everything I need. I shall not want for a single thing because my shepherd is leading me, but he's not done yet. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Look at how good and strong this shepherd is. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's a really scary place, just in case you miss it. I will fear no evil. Listen, the valley of the shadow of death, at least historians tell us, I've never been there, but they said this is a real place. And there would be robbers hiding And you would go through this path and you could find yourself being taken advantage of. A matter of fact, most people, if they had a choice, they'd take the long way around. The valley of the shadow of death was that neighborhood. And you'd be like, you know what? I know it's going to add 10 more miles, but I'm just going to go ahead and walk around the long way. We're not going through the valley. You really had to be in a hurry, and there had to be some serious things going on the other side for you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But the Lord is saying, because he's our shepherd, you can walk through that valley. Excuse me. And fear no evil. Why? Because he, your shepherd, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. People laugh at me when I say it, but it's the truth. People say, well, what's the rod? I say, it's a beating stick. It's a beating stick. It is just like a club of a stick that a shepherd would carry. And it had this blunt, just bold end on it. And if a wolf should come by, or if some other animal would look to come by and take the sheep, I bet you don't today. I mean, let that shepherd look all cute and cuddly with the sheep, but don't you mess around with my sheep. I bet you somebody's going to die today, and it's not going to be me. That's why he had the rod. Now, the staff was this long stick that had a nice hook on the end of it. You've seen it. People made pictures about it. Now we make candy canes and we eat them, right? But that was a stick that the shepherd would use. So if the sheep would fall into a pit, he could reach down and pick the sheep up. But also if the sheep would go out of line, get your behind over. I mean, you'll just snatch a sheep up and you got to get them in. But not because I hate you. I love you enough to not let you see you just go off into the wilderness. No, come on, come on. Right, your rod and your staff, both of those tools. When I see my shepherd carry them, I just feel like, I'm going to be all right. The shepherd has the rod to beat any wolves that come. And just in case I start to drift, I know he could just bring me right back in line. My rod and staff, Jesus says, should bring you comfort. I ain't have time to read the rest of it. You read Psalm 23. But that's our good shepherd. And this is what Jesus was trying to teach the crowd, and it's what he's trying to teach you and I. Who is Jesus? He says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In the same passage, Jesus tells us around verse 18, no one takes my life. I gladly voluntarily lay my life down. Why in the world would you do something that ridiculous, Jesus? Because I love my sheep. I love my sheep enough to die for it. Listen, any God that's willing to do something like that is worth me giving up whatever I need to give up to come on into his safety. What you want me to let go of, Jesus? You willing to do that for me? Listen, I love you like a play cousin. But if you think that you're going to be the reason why I don't enter into that sheepfold, I highly recommend you move out my way. Don't let this size fool you. I will truck you and make it through the other side. I'm getting in to see Jesus. When we see him rightly, there are no more questions. There are no more stones. This is the creator of the universe, who loved me enough to leave heaven and come to earth, though he needed nothing, simply for me. While I was yet in sin, ready to kill him, willing to crucify him, he says, Michael, I'm going to press in anyway because I love you. And I want you to see me so that you can respond rightly to me. I am the door. It's not these other things that are going to bring you safety. It's not these other things that's going to bring you joy. You have to enter in through Jesus. But he doesn't just promise you a safe haven. He says, I'll also lead you. I'll lead you by example. I'll show you what it looks like to love by giving my very life. The good shepherd lays down his life. Listen to me. Anything else, anyone else that you put your trust and hope in will be like a hired hand. The moment they see a wolf, listen, I do not have to. I love you, but if they release a pit bull in here, I do not have to be the fastest person in the room. I just have to beat Daniel. That's it. I love you some, but my legs are longer. I mean, I need to be faster than the slowest person. That's it. The hired hand is going to outrun you and leave you behind. Look, that sheep, I mean, we lose one. You know, yeah, we got the rest. Go ahead, eat well. No, Jesus is saying, I'm willing to fight for each and every single person in this room. And if it were just, hear me, before you think that this is just some fairy tale story, if you were the only person in the room right now, man, that's good to my soul. Jesus said, I'd have still left heaven just for you. See, oftentimes we try to make it this big old, well, he did it for everybody else. No, he did it for you. Listen, the gospel tells a story of Philip. He was preaching a great revival. And I don't have enough time, but he was preaching a great revival. Many getting saved. And then the Lord sends him out to a desert to speak to one Ethiopian eunuch. Just one. Leave all that's going on. Listen, I'm like, Lord, do you see what's happening here? Thousands of people are gathering. And you want me to leave and go and serve how many? No, no, God is moving over here. He can't be moving over there. I mean, there's only two people. Jesus is saying, for the one, I leave everything and come. You are his one. And he's willing to give up all. He gave up all. And you know what we continue to look and say to him? Well, you know, I'm just such a mess. And all that I did, no, what he did was sufficient. For sins past, present, and future. All the sins of the world. The only thing, please hear me, the only thing that's keeping you and I from experiencing the safety that comes from entering through the door, from experiencing the green pastures and the still waters, is you and I. That's it. If we would accept him and come to him, we enter in. He's done it all already. But Lord, I did this, and I made that choice, and I made that mistake. And now, even now, I'm going through this. And he says, you know what? I got you. Come on in. I mean, what do you say to the person who tells you, listen, I got you covered for the entrance fee to the state fair. Oh, you know what? I don't have enough money. I got you covered for the entrance fee to the state fair. I'm like 10 pennies short. I got you covered. Like that's sometimes, not for you, but for me, that's how I am the door. What are you doing, Michael? Just enter in, man. Like, what? I am the good shepherd. Just let's go to green pastures. But Lord, you know, I don't know. When we see the shepherd rightly, the sheep just respond correctly. Listen. And then I'm going to close this thing down. Look at what Jesus says in verse 14b through 16. And may you be encouraged, comforted, charged, and challenged on this morning. I know my own. And my own know me. Just, listen, not watered down version. Just as the Father knows me. Just as the Father knows the Son. And I know the Father. That's the same way that Jesus knows us and he wants us to know him. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So impactful, he had to say it again. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. I know my sheep, and he calls you by name. None of us came here today. I don't care who you think brought you. No one came here today because you had it figured out, or because you just know the plan, or because you're doing God a favor. You have been called to come. And now that you're here, know this, Jesus calls you by name. He knows you. And he's saying, come, I want you to know me too. As the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father, I know you and I want you to know me. This is the relationship that Jesus wants to have with his children. I lay down my life for you so that you can come and get to know me. And know that you're known by me. And now just for context, Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he did not venture out to speak with Gentiles, but not because he did not have a deep and sincere love for all. There was a process to this journey. But Jesus says, and this is who he's speaking about, there are other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. If you don't know Jesus, then like he spoke to the Jews, to let them know that he's going for the Gentiles. Don't get it twisted. This is not just going to be a little holy huddle and we just going to be cool, us four, no more. There are other sheep. And I love this. Listen, I've really tried to finish in 35 minutes, but it's just not going to happen. There are other sheep. Hear this, for wherever you may be, they are not of this fold yet. You may not have come yet. But Jesus already calls you a sheep. That should have just blown somebody's mind right now. I just thought about that thing. I was like, wait a minute. There are others that are of this fold that have not come. So while we're out there living however we want to live, Jesus says, that's mine. I'm coming for you. And I'm going to get you in just a moment. Whatever it takes, he's coming for you. That could sound like a threat, but everything in my heart said that is an absolute promise that should bring peace to your soul. You sitting there on the outside of the gate, talking about, I don't know, Jesus, just come on in here already. I mean, just brings us in. But he doesn't snatch us in the way that people may snatch us in. He just shows us a little bit more of himself. We're like, it's a Bug's Life. You ever seen A Bug's Life? I know I'm going way back, but that little bug is like, it's so beautiful, I can't. I mean, it just drawn to the light and it gets zapped anyway. He's like, he's just so beautiful. You know, you just got to come. You just got to come. You got to come when you see him rightly. I don't care what you're going. He's like, it's Jesus. You know, and you got to come. He's that beautiful, right? He draws us into himself. So I don't know what side of the sheepfold you may be on in this morning. Maybe you were in and you found yourself straying out because you're struggling. Jesus saying, come. You may not have never entered, may not have never. Go ahead and take that to your English teacher. You may have never entered in. But I still see you, and I call you by name. You're my sheep. Jesus takes it personal. Oh, hurry up, Michael. I just think about how I could take some things personal, and I'm growing. You mean right? Take some things personal. And I shouldn't. I'm not Jesus. But Jesus takes it personal when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy his sheep. And that's when you see the rod come out. Can you picture Jesus swinging a rod around? I definitely want to be behind him when he's whipping that rod. You know, I don't want to be on the other end of that. Come in, all who are heavy and weary. Enter into his rest. The good shepherd has made a way for you to no longer be overwhelmed, burdened, stressed, and strained. And he tells you how to do it. He is the door. Just come. If you can hear his voice, come. If you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, God is calling you to come. You may know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that's a good thing. But let's be honest. While I know him, sometimes I can get distracted and forget that my shepherd is leading me and look at the things surrounding me. Jesus is looking to realign our focus this morning. Look, see me, and come. And when you can hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today is not the day to be big, bad, and burly. That's not today. Humble yourself and come to Jesus. Give him your burdens. Give him your fears. Give him your worries. Give him your concerns. He's made a way. He did not lay down his life so that you can be miserable. He says he laid down his life so that you can have life more abundantly. Abundantly would have been enough. What's more than abundant? It's enough to make you want to go and share. Like, look, I just have too much here. You know, just take some of this. You know, I'm just so blessed. It's just almost stressing me out being blessed. Here, take some more of this. That's what he's calling us to, more than abundant life. But listen, if you're going to receive that abundant life, then you have to respond rightly to the door. You have to respond rightly to the good shepherd. Whether you are saved or unsaved, he continually calls us to come. Continually calls us to come. And I just feel that thing in my heart, like Jesus is calling you to come. Come. I mean, if you could just listen. Just felt like the Holy Spirit can call you better than I could. I mean, can you hear him? Can you feel him? Can you sense him? Are we so busy and being run around rampant that we don't have enough quiet space to just, oh, that's my shepherd, excuse me. May we leave everything behind and give our all to the one who gave all. He is a good shepherd. And I'm telling you, just even saying good shepherd, I feel like that's just such a miserable representation. But the Lord knows in our limited language, it doesn't matter how many words we have. But just know, he's God all by himself. And he knows you by name. And today he calls you to come, enter his rest, experience his joy. He's a good shepherd, and he wants you to be his sheep.